Sweet 16. The taste of victory. Wednesday night I talked to you about all I do is win. So I knew there was more wonderful insights in this particular scripture. So I want to begin this morning, if the Lord would allow me, to minister this word to you that I've had in my spirit since the very beginning of this series. But I want to close with this here. So this will be the close of this series. This is called The Climb, and the victory requires the same thing. Will in action equals willpower. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 14, please. 1 Samuel 14, we're going to read a lot of scripture. 1 Samuel 14, verse 1 through 23. I'm going to read out of the Good News Translation. 1 Samuel 14, verse 1. When you're there, say amen. If you are on your electronic devices, on your phones, please silence them if you would, please. So we reverence the very Spirit of God in this house. When you have your place in 1 Samuel 14, please stand for the reading of God's word. Pastor, you normally didn't do this. Well, there's some things that I haven't done that I will begin to do. 1 Samuel 14, verses 1 through 23. If you have it, please stand for the reading of God's word. If your phone goes off, please quickly silence it. If you were at your job, you would already had it on silent. 1 Samuel 14, 1 through 23, the Good News Translation reads this wise. One day Jonathan said to the young man who carried his weapons, "Let's go across to the Philistines' camp." But Jonathan did not tell his father Saul, who was camping under a pomegranate tree in Migron. Not far from Gibeah, he had about 600 men with him. The priest carrying the ephod was Ahijah, the son of Ichabod's brother Ahitub, who was the son of Phinehas and the grandson of Eli, the priest of the Lord in Shiloh. The men did not know that Jonathan had left. In Michmash Pass, which Jonathan had to go through to get over to the Philistines' camp, there were two large jagged rocks, one on each side of the pass. One was called Bozez, and the other Sineth. One was on the north side of the pass facing Michmash, and the other was on the south side facing Gibeah. Jonathan said to the young man, "Let's cross over to the camp of those heathen Philistines. Maybe the Lord will help us. If he does, nothing can keep him from giving us victory, no matter how few of us there are." The young man answered, "Whatever you want to do, I am with you." "All right," Jonathan said, "we will go across and let the Philistines see us. If they tell us to wait for them to come to us, then we will stay where we are. But if they tell us to go to them, then we will, because that will be the sign that the Lord has given us victory over them." So they let the Philistines see them, and the Philistines said, "Look, some Hebrews are coming out of the holes, and they have been hiding it." Then they called out to Jonathan and the young man, "Come up here. We have something to tell you." Jonathan said to the young man, "Follow me. The Lord has given Israel victory over them." Jonathan climbed up out of the pass on his hands and knees, and the young man followed him. Jonathan attacked the Philistines and knocked them down, and the young man killed them. In the first slaughter, Jonathan and the young man killed about 20 men in an area of about half an acre. All the Philistines in the countryside were terrified. The raiders and the soldiers in the camp trembled with fear. The earth shook, and there was great panic. Saul's men on watch at Gibeah in the territory of Benjamin saw the Philistines running in confusion. So Saul said to his men, count the soldiers, and find out who is missing. They did so and found that Jonathan and the young man who carried his weapons were missing. Bring the ephod here, Saul said to Ahijah, the priest. On that day, Ahijah was carrying it in front of the people of Israel. As Saul was speaking to the priest, the confusion in the Philistines' camp kept growing worse. So Saul said to them, "There's no time to consult the Lord. Then he and his men marched into battle against the Philistines, who were fighting each other in complete confusion. Some Hebrews who had been on the Philistine side had gone with them to the camp, changed sides again, and joined Saul and Jonathan. Others who had been hiding in the hills of Ephraim heard that the Philistines were running away, so they also joined in and attacked the Philistines, fighting all the way beyond Bethaven. The Lord saved Israel that day. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you, God, that you give us insight. You illuminate our minds, Father God. But more importantly, Father God, you give us impartation of your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may take your seat if you will, please. I want to share this message that has been just in my spirit. It is something that I believe that we as the people of God have a tendency to do. But you will either identify with one or the other. You will identify with Saul or you will identify with Jonathan. See, the scripture says that Saul was sitting under a pomegranate tree. And he was sitting with the ephod. The ephod represents the will of God. How can you be sitting under a tree when you have the ephod, the will of God, to go out and fight? You're sitting under the pomegranate tree. And I don't know about you. How many of y'all have eaten a pomegranate before that you have picked? Is it satisfying? No, it ain't nothing but little seeds. You got to work at it just to get full. So it wasn't like they were sitting there to eat a lunch. They were sitting there with the will of God. And I find it very interesting that when someone has the ephod, that represents that the will of God is with you. Who is sitting on the very will of God and not advancing forward? Sitting and resting with a group of people. The ephod. We have many in church history that had the ephod, the will of God, and sat and never progressed forward for the kingdom of God. That held people back. Held them back because they didn't understand the will of God. They had it, but they didn't understand it. I have the will of God telling me I can do, but I don't do. Oh, come on now. Come on. Don't make me work like this. Don't make me work like this. This is something you got to understand. If you don't understand this, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. He says, I've given you my will. What are you doing waiting and sitting on the will of God, sitting under a tree, and you can't get full with what you're eating? All you're doing is eating nothing but the outside because you can't eat the seeds of the pomegranate. And then what? Well, hold up now. Oh, getting ahead of myself. Haven't you seen those bottles of pomegranate now that they have in the stores? What is the pomegranate good for? The heart? What does it do, Sylvie? Come on now. Oh, Lord. Oh, antioxidants, right? So what is it? It makes what? The defense in your body go up. You're sitting under a tree that is to build your immune system so that you don't get attacked and you're not weak. You sit under there with the will of God, eating the pomegranate, so that your immune system, you're not immune to all this religiosity. But we've made it a point to just forget about the will of God. Then I started reading about the pomegranate. It builds your immune system so that it fights against plaque. What is plaque? Build up. Say it again, sir.
Toxic build up.
Toxic build up in your body. The body of Christ has been building all these toxins and is not allowing the Spirit of God to flow freely, and it's stopping
But the people of God are just sitting on the will of God. He says, they're here they are as the king. It is sitting under a tree when they should be advancing and fighting, for I've already given them victory. But they're so afraid to go into a place they haven't been to. I'm advancing the people of God in an area that they've never been. And they're afraid. And it says that he was sitting there with how many? 600. That's a mighty big tree. That's a whole lot of pomegranates. Woo! And they got the ephod. Can I see your shawl, please? Can I see your shawl? Can you put it on the girl? Can you put it on? Give it to Michael. Give it to Michael. Here, put it on. Spirit just told him that I was about to do this. Was carrying the ephod didn't even believe in the will of God. So how is the priest going to tell the king what to do if he doesn't believe in the glory? You cannot move in victory without the glory of God. It all becomes nothing but an article of clothing of the past. I said, Lord, let it not be in this house. I said, I am not looking for someone that is holding on to the past, saying, Lord, let your will be done, but holding on to the past and trying to keep the old concept, the old precept of the old system in an old way that we can never advance forward. We've got to see that what God has given us is his will to fight, his will to win, and he gives us the right to win at all times. My. You sensed it right. There was a shift. A shift. Where did the shift come from? It wasn't in the priest that carried the will of God. Woo! It was a generation that said, I understand the glory. If the enemy wants to stop me along this path, I'm going to choose a new way on how to get my victory. It may not be the old way. It's going to be a new way. I'm going to get victory because I operate in the glory of God. He's already given us power. Why are we sitting waiting? I'm waiting on the Lord. when the enemy wants to come in and stop you. Whoo! Here's what happened. Daddy, you got your 600 sitting under that big old tree? Okay. With Ichabod's lineage, where the glory has departed, I don't want to be anywhere where the glory has departed. I want to walk in the glory. I want to walk in victory. So I'm going to shift. I'm going to shift and go a different way. Oh, you better hear this. You better hear this. An old system of a religious leadership that kept many people bound, sitting, doing nothing. But then you have a son that says, hold up now. Daddy may not understand. He may have all the articles of a religious mindset with him. He may have offices of a religious mindset around him. I carry the power and the glory within me. So I'm going to shift, even though the enemy wants to stop me. He wants to cut me off at my pass. And I'm about to go a different route. I'm going to do something different that the old system knows nothing of. Haven't you noticed that every time something new and fresh is coming out, it's the old religious folks that say, no, no, that ain't God. That ain't God because he don't look like God, and it wasn't like how we started it before. Because they want to take ownership of the new move. But because they don't understand it, they sit and they wait. A generation that is emerging now says, I'm not sitting down with the power that is within me and not take my mountain. So he says to the young man that had no name, never referenced the name, an armor bearer that just carried the man of God, sword and shield. This is where you go with me. Where you go with me? I don't know why I was going, but where you go with me? I don't know why it was put off, but where you go with me? I don't know why it's not the same, but where you go with me? Whatever's in your heart to do, I'm with you. I'll do it. I may not have a sword, but I got willpower to go. I've got the will to defeat what comes my way. I don't understand, but I'm shifting. Woo! Stay with me now. Stay with me, please, 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 please. There was two. Since scripture says there was two large jagged rocks. It's named in scripture. It says one is Bozez and the other is Seneth. Bozez means to glean. But the other description means the slippery one. Woo! And on the other side was Seneth, which means thorny and jagged. See, every time you shift, it's not made easy. Because you're trailblazing a way for another generation to follow. So it hasn't been charted before. You haven't been down it before. No one has ever been there before. You're going through it on your own. But it says in the scripture that Jonathan went up, he got up on his hands and his knees. Maybe he chose the slippery side. And when he went up the slippery side, every time he was going up, he was sliding back down. Every time he would try to get further, he was sliding back down. And I could just picture the armor bearer just pushing and saying, no, don't quit. Keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. I got you. How many times do we got to keep sliding back? It don't matter. I got you. I got you. It may look like we're not winning. It may look like we're not gonna make it there. I got you. It may look like every time we get further along, we slip down. But I got you. I'm going to push you. We got willpower. We got the will to make it. I might slip all the way back down. But Jesus said, come up. Come up. I got something to show you. Woo! How many of you have felt like you've been on that slippery slope, falling right down? But the first description of it was that you glean. How do you glean when you're slipping down? How do you glean? It's because you're picking up everything as you're on your hands and knees. And every time you slide down, it becomes a part of you. And you're gleaning from the past failures. You're gleaning from the past and everything that slip right by you. You're gleaning from it. You're learning for the next time that you get further up. I'm not going to make that mistake again. I'm not going to be the same person to make the same mistakes. I'm not going to turn back to my old ways. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to stop. Even though everybody wants to say, you're not going to make it, you're not going to make it. I'm going to shift and I'm going to do something different. It may not be in a church. It may be on Periscope. It may be just doing what you told me to do, to do it different, to get me to a different place. And I've never been there. Many have never been to where we're going. But you can look back and say, God, I can't go back down there no more. Got to get there. But what if he went on the other side? What if he went on the side of the thorns and the jagged edges? What if he was climbing up that rock? That every time he tried to reach or grab a hold, he was getting wounded. He was hurt. Something always pierced his side. Something always pierced him and said, don't go any further. Something says, you can't do it. You're not anointed. You don't have insight like everybody else. Do you quit? Or do you keep climbing? You're getting hurt by people around you. Used to be your friend. They used to be your confidant. They used to be your spiritual father, your spiritual mentor. You get hurt, you get wounded. Do you stop or do you say, God, I know I can make it to the other side? Jonathan just on his hands and knees being very vulnerable when not having his weapons there. But then can you imagine the one that is saying, keep going, who has to climb with his sword and his shield, someone that is following after him saying, I got you. I'm slow right now, but I got you. You make it first. I'm coming after you. You get there. And then when I get there, I kill them all. You climb and you climb. And you get wounded on the climb. And you feel like I'm alone. And there comes a voice further down saying, oh, I'm with you. I'm with you. looks down to his armor bearer and say, I'm not going at this alone. Let me encourage you. We have the power. We have the will of God. We don't have all the religious folks following us. We don't have all those people trying to tell us no. So let's not listen to our own no's. Let's speak the yes to one another. Let's encourage one another. You can do it. Come up, man of God. Come up, man of God. I'll wait here for you to come up, because we're doing this thing together. We ain't going to do it alone, because I know somewhere down the line, Jesus sent them out 2 by 2. And greater miracles were performed with those that went out, and they never went to school. They didn't have the full understanding, but they casted out demons. They raised the dead. They did things that they have never, ever imagined in life. Whatever jagged edge, whatever thorns that have, picked up along the way, let it be a reminder that I operate with the power of God resonating within me. I'm not going to be prideful about it. I'm not going to be wounding people. I have an understanding of your grace and your mercy. Lord, I thank you that because I've made it to this point, we're going to set some people free. If that means I've got to go battle some folks and we're outnumbered, Lord, I just know you're inside of me. You caused me to win. So all I do is win. You caused me to go over. So I'm crossing over. I know some people left me. I know some people went across and went back. I know some people went to go hide. I know some people even switched over and went to the enemy side to fight against me. I know some of them that were once with me are now talking about me. I know that the ones that were once going to push me and get me there, they're the ones coming against me. I know that they're the ones that just said, no, you're never going to make it. But God, I can't position my mind to them. I got to position my mind on you. So come on, Mr. No Name. Let us go make a name for ourselves. For we are the children of the Most High God. I said, Lord, this is it. See, we've been trying to cross over the old way. I said, what are you looking for the ephod for? When you are the will of God. You are the will of God. How do you win? How do you win your battles? Most folks probably say, only with Jesus. I've seen a lot of folks that don't know Jesus win. You know what caused them to win? Their willpower. Their will. Many folks that sit on the very gifts that God has given them sit on their gifts, their talents, and they don't want to use it. They don't want to do anything. And so they lose. They blame God. But the reality is God says, no, I've already given you the ability and the power to win. But you sit on it because you want it your way. You want to do it the way you want to do it. You don't want to do it the way that I'm telling you to do it because it's different. Well, I only want to do this. Then you're limiting yourself. He says, because if I do it this way, you're going to come against some obstacles, but you will overcome. You will overcome. You'll go into new territories, new land. You'll get new victory. You'll get things that you have never experienced in your life. And here's what I find very interesting as I read on in the scripture, that you see where Saul realized that Jonathan and the armor bearer had victory. That he begins to declare, there's victory. Watch what he does. Watch. The scripture says that he even told the priest to bring the ephod in front of the people. First, the scripture says that the ephod was with Saul, but they were all sitting down. They were all sitting down. When the will of God went before the people, watch this. Watch the scripture. Walk over the road. What did it do? The will of God began to move in action and in power. Because what happened was, now it started causing all kinds of confusion even more in the Philistines' camp. When the will of God is moving and not sitting, it will make the enemy begin to even come against himself and make people turn around and come right back to your side. Cross back over when they ran. The ones that used to talk about you to come back and fight with you, for you. The will of God has to be moving. It can't be sitting. I'm sitting waiting on the Lord. Get up. Do something. We think that we're just going to sit here and wait. That's old school teaching, baby. Waiting on the Lord. He's giving you all the power. He's giving you the victory. And you sit there and wait on the Lord. What you waiting on? It's because you are scared. I said, God, I'm not going to sit on the will of God. The only way you ever win is you determine to do what God said to do. And don't sit and wait. Some of you got so many promises given to you. Get up. Get up. Quit sitting under the pomegranate tree. Getting all of your antioxidants. I find it very interesting that Saul didn't eat nothing. Him and his armor bearer ate nothing. So it was very easy for a religious mindset, Saul, to say after the victory, nobody can eat. You just filled yourself up with all the pomegranates. When the will of God is moving, it'll cause confusion in the enemy's camp. But it will cause the ones that were used to be with you and that turned against you, it will cause them to come back to you. It will cause them to turn things around. The ones that used to talk about you will love on you. They don't know what they have until it's gone. They don't know how delicate until it's gone. They don't know how powerful until it's gone. That you were a blessing and not a curse. Want to put the words on you. God says you are the will of God. You keep moving in your direction, beloved. And you will see that I will make everyone that came against you turn around and bless you. Whew. Jonathan said, let's climb. Let's climb. Let's climb. We can't sit. We can't sit. We can't come into church services and just sit. You got to climb. It requires you to put effort. And you're not building for you. You're building for Him, the kingdom. And as you build the kingdom, He builds for you. Because He said unto His disciples that we're doing everything for the kingdom of God. He says, now I go to prepare a room for you. Why? Because you were building His house here. He's going to build your house there. You can't be sitting and saying, I'm waiting on the will of God, when you are the will of God. Yeah, I know some religious folks are not going to like that. That's not scripture. You ain't the will of God. Turn with me to Acts 1:8 if you will. Forget, I'll just read it to you. It says, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. What power is that? His power. What is His power? His power to give you victory. His power to give you wealth. His power to give you health. His power to give you everything or everything that you need. That's why the enemies try to stop you along the way. But you shifted on Him. Shifted. He made the enemy start running. He made the enemy start fighting against himself. He made the enemy say, wait up now. How's Bishop being heard all over the world now? When for a minute nobody knew what he was doing. What's he doing with that Hispanic boy over there? What's he doing with that man he calls his brother? But now God said, because you've got moving with the will of God. People from Japan, people from all over the Orient. You got people from across the world following you. What are they following? The will of God. It don't make no sense. It's called Periscope. What is Periscope? It comes from the depths up to pierce at further distances. It only comes from the bottom to surface up. Can you imagine if Jesus would have had all the technology back then? He said, I ain't got to go nowhere. Put me on Periscope. This be done in an instant. I'll get everyone saved. Everyone will hear the gospel. It'd be too easy. So never mind, let me put it on hold. Let's make my children work. So they can appreciate the power that they already have. Because if I do it, they'll never know the power that's inside of them. You know, he doesn't tell us to pray for the sick. He says to go heal the sick. He said, don't pray for them. Heal them. He didn't say, go and pray for them to raise up. Go raise the dead. He says, go and make what was unclean, clean. We think we got to be praying. No wonder why the devil wreaks havoc on his people. Get up and go do. Go do. Climb. Climb. It takes the will to succeed. The will. And it takes you to initiate, to start, to move. And he'll finish you. He'll finish you. Waiting on the Lord. I get so tired of that. There was a song we used to play back in the day. Remember that in the cave? I don't mind waiting on the Lord. Oh, yeah, I do. I do. I know how to be still and wait on the Lord. But still, if you're actually looking up, still doesn't mean to stand still. Still means to keep working, knowing that he is already working things out. See, don't go and start something new. Keep doing what he told you to do. That's standing still and waiting on the Lord. Keep doing it. And then when he comes in, then what he does is gives you more. We have so many fat cats in the church. Getting all the word and knowledge, and they ain't doing nothing, not releasing it to anybody. I wonder why the kingdom of God is so messed up. Come on. When that word hit me, I said, Lord, I want to preach this. I want to preach this thing. That's actually teaching material right there. That's to teach you some things. But it stirred me up so much. I said, God, I'm going a new way. I'm shifting. I'm going a new way. I'm going to go up. And maybe it may be slippery or maybe thorny. But I'm going to keep climbing. I'm going to keep climbing. You know why the armor bearer was never named? No one will ever get the glory but God. Ever. But the armor bearer represented the Holy Spirit. I got you. Keep going. I'm the force that's driving you. I'm the force that's telling you to keep going. I'm the force that's telling you to keep moving and go a different way. Oh yeah, you're going to have some folks leave you. You're going to have some folks talk about you. Just keep going. Just keep going. You have some folks that aren't going to like you for a minute. But if you keep moving and you keep doing, you'll get victory. And when they see the victory that I have given you, they'll come back to you. Repenting, not to you, to him.
and then they'll get about their business that I've called them to. That's some good stuff right there. That's some good stuff right there. Stand to your feet.